start here in Matthew chapter 10. And if you want to find your place also in the Bible, in Romans chapter 12, I'm going to be going back over something that I spoke about this past Wednesday night. I feel like the Lord would have me to go over it again. This is a thought of great importance, a message of great importance. And it's something that I wish that every soul on the face of the earth could see this. I mean, really grab hold of it. Here's what the Lord said in Matthew chapter number 10. And we'll begin reading at verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, I want to tell you something. That right there, that ought to challenge every one of us that's saved. To make sure we have taken up the cross of Christ. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Look at this. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What the Lord is saying here is, he's not talking about necessarily a person losing their soul. He's talking about losing your life. The life that you and I live, the life that God has put in our hands, the choice. Every one of us get to make that choice. Which direction we're going to go in. And I said it Wednesday night, I'm going to say it again. I've got some other things I really believe the Lord give to me to add to this, but I want to say this again. There are not more than two ways. There's heaven and hell. Life and death. God told Moses, Moses knew this, I set before thee this day life and death. Blessing or cursing? And God told him, said, choose life. So there's only two ways. People think, and I think in this generation, maybe more generations have thought that, you know, well, if I don't choose God, maybe I certainly don't want to follow they don't think they're following the devil. They're going their own path. They're not. You're going one of two ways. You're either following God's way or you're being controlled by the devil and the world. And I'll show you that in Romans 12. But he said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. This is the paradox that a person has. If you try to hold on to your life. Live the life you want to live. You're going to lose your life. But if you'll lose your life, if you'll give it to the Lord, say, my life's not my own anymore. I'm losing my life to the Lord. Then you'll find your life. you'll find your life. So many people go through this life and wonder, what am I here for? What's my purpose? Why am I not happy? I don't know what I'm meant to do or what direction I'm meant to go. Lose your life, and then you'll find that. You'll find your life. That's what Jesus said. You've got to lose your life. But if you lose your life, you'll find it. What a blessing. But on the other hand, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. You're not going to make it. Listen, but some people say, well, not all this has happened to other people. It's not going to happen to me. You will lose your life. On the authority of God's word, you either save your life and lose it, or you lose your life and find it. There's only two ways. Think of all the things that the Lord said. I mean, you're either going to be a disciple of the Lord, or you're going to follow after the world, one way or another. You're either going to be persecuted for Christ, or you're going to be loved by the world. One or two. You're either going to be set apart for God, or you're going to be everything that everybody else is. No different. Get out here somewhere. Look, go in the crowds. You can't tell the difference in them. Men of God have often said that God's people ought to be able to be told when they're amongst the world. If we are a light, if we're a burning and a shining light, people ought to see that there is a definite difference in our life. There's many ways that that can happen. The most powerful way is truly who you are on the inside. Because, listen, it can affect your outside. You can see it in people's faces sometimes. I mean, when they have really been with the Lord, you can see it on them. But also in other ways. I'm not preaching about all that this morning. You're either going to confess Christ or you're going to deny Him. One or the other. You can't say, well, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed. You're either confessing Him or you're not. If you're not, you're denying Him. You're either putting God first. Putting God first. Or you're not. Something else is first. Or somebody else is first. God is either first or He is not first. Listen, I've been swallowing on this for days. He is either, He told us, He asked us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Amen. Love God first. Amen. Put God first. Amen. And then everything else, it'll be added unto you. We're either going to bear our cross, not His cross, our cross. That's the life you and I live, the life that you and I are going to face. Look at the Apostle Paul. What a saved man that he was. What a powerful apostle and preacher that he was. But he bore his cross. Those were the things that came into the Apostle Paul's life for being what he was for Christ. That's our cross. Our cross is the things that come our way in this life because of our love and our devotion to God. It's not easy. That's why it's called a cross. We're either going to follow Christ or not. We're going to deny self or please ourselves. Now look what the Lord said over in Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I'll read through this. We're going to look back over some of it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And a lot of people look at that and say, well, you know, that's God's recommendation. It's not a recommendation. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. This is a command. Don't be conformed. In other words, it's going to happen to you unless. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is saying right here, you're either going to be conformed to the world or you're going to be transformed by God. One of the two. There is no middle ground. There's no riding the fence. We may try. Like Eutychus, we may try, we may sit in the window and fall out. But listen, our life is going to be a result of either being conformed by the world or being transformed by God. I'm going to give you my honest testimony. My life has been either one or the two. It always has. Even in my Christian life, I have my flesh warring against my soul and my soul warring against my flesh. These are contrary one to another. And you do too. It's the evil versus the good. Righteousness versus unrighteousness. Godly versus ungodliness. Sin versus holiness. Be not conformed. God is telling us, don't be conformed. That is your old life. That's not who you are anymore. Listen, before God saved me, I'm not going to get into details, but I was a teenager in the 80s. And I looked the part. Why? Because I was being conformed into what a teenager in the 80s was. But you know what was the crazy thing? I thought I was cool enough, I was doing my own thing. Somebody ripped their britches, I ripped my britches. Amen? Somebody get an earring, I got an earring. Somebody grow long hair, I grew long hair. I mean, we're constantly looking to the world and we're conforming to the world. As a lost person. And there are saved people and God is saying, don't be conformed to the world.
Amen.
Don't let the world mold who you are. Let God transform you. And there's a big difference in being conformed and being transformed. Being conformed is the world taking you as you are and trying to apply its example onto your life. And making you a picture of what it was. Being transformed is that God makes you new. And changes you from the inside out. And He transforms our life. Completely transforms our life. I know that I'm saved. Why? Because God has transformed my life. I am not the person I used to be. And listen, I'm not trying to convince myself of that. I know that. I am not the man I was before God saved me. I'm a different person. I'm a different person. The things that God did for me, did in me, did to me, I never had that in my whole life. I never had the love of God in my heart the way I did the day Christ saved me. I knew nothing about it. I've often testified, the morning I got saved, when I was in that church, I turn around and look around at people, I thought that place was full of hypocrites. I hated the lot of them. I really did. And most of it was because the way that I'd seen them do a real good, godly man. But when I got up from being saved and turned around, I loved everyone in there. I had a heart full of a kind of forgiveness that I needed forgiveness first. And that took care of any ought that I had against anyone. I loved them people. They were God's people, and I had seen them in a way I had never seen them. God puts that in a person's life. The Lord transforms us by His grace, transforms us by His power, by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen. He tells us, listen, there's one of two ways. One of two ways. Be not conformed. Be not conformed. You will be conformed if you're not transformed. If you're not transformed, you will be conformed. Romans 12:2, he said, present your bodies. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Present your bodies. We're either presenting our bodies to be transformed or to be conformed. Listen, that's good preaching even if I'm doing it. That means this body, this outside, can either be changed by God or it's going to be conformed to the world. The outside. Not just the inward man, but the outside, your body. Why? Because the body is a direct representation of what's on the inside. It is. It sure is. Listen, you pull up and look at this church and look at the sign, you can tell what goes on the inside from what's on the outside. Amen? It's Mission Hill Baptist Church. You pretty much know what you're going to hear when you come here. Amen? I mean, there's been people come to a Baptist church and get mad when they hear certain doctrine. Well, where'd they think they showed up? Amen? We're not Protestant. We're not Catholic. We're not Muslim. What do they want to hear? They showed up at a Baptist church. They can hear Baptist preaching and Baptist teaching. Amen. Old time singing by the grace of God. Amen. Now you can be fooled because that outside can be conformed. Some Baptist place, you go in, you can tell, they let the world get a hold of them. They let the world get a hold of them. And slowly but surely, it's even affecting the outside. We're just going to turn into the mission. We don't want to offend anybody with that cross and the word Baptist. We've let the world determine what kind of a religion we are. God have mercy upon people, letting the world govern. Letting the world govern what goes on in God's house. This is the house of the Lord. It should be everything that is holy. and lifts up the Son of God. Amen. It shouldn't be anything that's worldly. Present your bodies. A living, how we present it. How are we presenting our bodies to the world? Is the world conforming us to present us to the world, to the rest of the world? This is what's new and improved. This is what's coming out of Hollywood. This is what's coming out of New York. Do this. And you can be like them. Amen. I don't want to be like them. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. He that saves his life shall lose it. He that loses his life, a living sacrifice, shall find it. Our life should be a life of sacrifice. A life of sacrifice. If we're being conformed to the world, listen, we're not sacrificing anything. We're indulging. We're indulging. We sacrifice nothing when we are being conformed to this world. God wants you and I to be transformed. He said, be holy. Holy. Amen. What? Bring into your life whatsoever's not of faith is sin. Live holy. God wants you and I to live holy. We're either living holy or unholy. We're doing that which is holy or that which is unholy. That's blunt, ain't it? Well, this ain't exactly holy, but Brother Mark, I wouldn't call it unholy. If it's not holy, it's unholy. You can't have, there's nothing in between. That's what people want. They want a heaven and a hell, and they want a place in between. Amen. Something not too bad. Purgatory. God have mercy. Live holy. Holy. Acceptable unto God. Your life may be acceptable to you, but is it acceptable to God? You want to find out if your life is acceptable to God. If my life, the way that it is, does God accept that? Now listen, we're accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ. As far as our salvation, there's only one way that God accepts you and me, and that's through Christ. But he, right here, he's talking about the living that we do. Live acceptably. Live in an acceptable manner. Do you think Peter was living in an acceptable manner when he was warming by the fire and cursing, saying he knew not Christ? No. When he was following Jesus afar off, was that acceptable? No. I'll tell you when Peter was living acceptable. In the last of his days, it was seen. He was crucified upside down. Peter had given his life long days before that day. He had sacrificed his pride in this world and his fishing that he loved so much. Gave his life to Christ. Amen. Who is worthy to live for him. Amen. Holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. Amen. It's our reasonable service. We either have a reasonable service or we're living in an unreasonable way. It'd be unreasonable to claim Christianity and the Christ life if we are being conformed to the world every day. Oh, but I'm a Christian. That's unreasonable to say. That's unreasonable. We can live just any old way that every way the world lives, and then, but I love God. God said plainly, said, you love me if you do the things I say. Why? Because it'd be unreasonable to say otherwise. I don't do what God says, but I love Him. That's unreasonable. I love Him, but I'm not walking in the light. That is an unreasonable statement. You and I must come to that understanding that God wants us to see right here one of two ways of living. We're either for Him or we're against Him. Saved or lost. He said to take up our cross. In the last days, Paul said people would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, not the power. See, it's not three ways, four ways. One way or another. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:14. He said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. That's the same word, the same exact word as be not conformed to this world. Peter says, not fashioning yourselves. According to the former lusts in your ignorance. See, if we live in former lusts, being conformed to the world, we are living the way we lived in our ignorance. Before God saved us. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now you think about this. God is saying, I am your God. I'm a holy God. So you be holy as I'm holy. Did you know that paganism and false religion produces all of these paragons of impurity? They are examples and models of lust and sin and ungodliness. That's what they are. Scarcely does paganism produce anything other than sinful living. Why? Because the religion is wicked. Their converts will be wicked. The religion is perverted. Their converts will be perverted. God is saying, I'm holy, you be holy. Be what your God is. That's not too much to ask, is it? Didn't the Lord say, He questioned, I think it was over in James. He said, can you get salt water and sweet water out of the same well? It's putting out one or the other. It's putting out one or the other. Like a mouth. It's either blessing or it's cursing. Blessing or cursing. Now in verse 3 he said this, here in Romans 12, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, like the apostle, God gives us grace to be transformed. God gives us grace to resist being conformed. Do you believe that? He said, "There is no temptation taking you such as is common to man. God will with the temptation also make a way of escape." You don't have to be conformed. That's why God said, "Be not conformed." I'm giving you a life. I'm giving you new life. I'm giving you the light of life. Be not conformed to this world. Think soberly. That's what he said at the end of that. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God wants me and you to stop and think. Let God transform me. I'm going to choose this and I'll be like the world. How much do I want to be like the world? How much do I want to be like Christ? If you're saved, your desire should be to be more like Christ. I'm not saying that if you choose the other route, you're going to be lost, because that'd be a work salvation. All of us make the wrong decision sometimes. But I'm telling you, it's the decision that God is imploring with us. Don't let that happen to you. Don't be entangled in the former things again. Don't be entangled in the former life. Think soberly. What's that going to do? God, you said there's pleasure in sin for a season. Right, it's only going to last a little bit. And then the pain's going to come. People make a wrong decision, and then sometimes they have a life full of pain because of one wrong decision. God is imploring to us, be holy. Follow me. Take up your cross daily. You see, it's an everyday decision. God has given me and you, listen, mankind, God has given mankind the ability to choose. It'd be a different world if God mystically put obedience on us. Unyielding obedience. And then it would be all done. I mean, it wouldn't be the choice. We wouldn't love God because we really love Him and we really want to. It'd be like a bunch of robots. But God gives us that independent thought and choice making. I want you to serve me because you want to serve me. I want you to love me because you really love me. And I want to transform your life. I will transform your life. If you don't let the world conform your life, I will transform your life. That's the promise. And if you don't let me transform your life, the world is going to conform your life. The world's going to get a hold of you. If you don't let God do the changing, the world's going to get a hold of you. But if you do let God change your life, there won't be no conforming to this world. God is going to make you into the very image of His dear Son. He said in verse 9, abhor evil, cleave to the good. Verse 11, He said, not slothful, but fervent. One way or another. Here's how you live. God gives us the roadway, the path, the map, the understanding, the grace. God pleads with you and I. If you save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life, for my sake, you'll save it. Thank God for His Word today. Amen. I'm glad that God made a promise to transform our lives. If you've been saved any length of time, you know how much God's changed your life. Let's all stand together.